You are listening to episode number 232 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Or are you?
Welcome to a long belated episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I'm your host, Ben, aka the Marvelous Iggy. Joining me is my stalwart co-host, our chief, our editor-in-chief, Brian Powers.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? I'm back. Hopefully the show will record this time.
But it actually we'll is because I'm monitoring it. So
you're monitoring it?
Also, if you haven't heard that luscious, dark voice, joining us
that
once
rich
again
undertone
is Taser, back from the dead.
Look, this show needed an old man. The typical old man couldn't be here because there was a burger emergency. You know, I heard the fries got loose. So I'm pinch hitting for OGG or Old Man Whirlyburger, as I'm going to be calling him from, you know, from now on. And I do mean that from now on. He is Old Whirlyburger. So yeah, what's up?
Did the hamburger get away? John let the hamburger get away. All right,
the hamburger and the Joker got away. There you go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel related. That means comics, movies, TV shows, video games, toys, and even
porn.
Yes, porn. We've covered porn.
I need
in the
to find
past.
Some more.
Go listen to older episodes if you're unsure. Or you can just ask Taser himself.
Yes, I do take requests in that regard. And yes. I mean that 100%.
If you want Taser record a do like review of a porn and he wants to come on and do it, he's more than welcome to. I may have opened my mouth too much to do that. But either way, let's get right into it. Let's get right into it. And while we like to have fun here, that's a line from something, isn't it? I know. We have the Mighty Warriors 3. We like to have fun. But sadly, reality sometimes hits us in a way we don't expect. And of course, if you don't know what I'm alluding to, in the fact that Darwin Cook, one of my favorite artists, an artist of well-renowned, passed away this past weekend at the time of this recording due to cancer. I don't believe I read what form of cancer it was, but it was cancer, aka fuck cancer.
Yeah, hashtag fuck cancer.
And it's weird that, like, this is where, you know, it doesn't matter about boundary bullshit, but Darwin Cook was an artist for the ages. And if you look at his art, namely it's DC stuff, that's what he's known for. Either that or pulp stuff like this, like the Spirit, and a lot of pinups. But the man just had some of the most pleasing art you had ever seen. And to me, and I've said this whenever an artist passes away, and especially for Darwin Cook, he was young. He just did a miniseries for Vertigo that wrapped up earlier this year. And I kept looking, hey, we're gonna get more, and that I know, like, that's a selfish me part of me thinking, but like, we lost somebody great because of fucking cancer. If you look at DC The New Frontier, which to me I would consider his the most definitive work, he captures the spirit of the DC universe,
especially that time period.
Definitely
that time period.
Yeah. If you haven't read DC New Frontier, do yourself a favor now and go read it.
Don't get the video.
No,
the video is substandard compared, way substandard.
Oh,
compared,
yeah,
because
it's called DC The New Frontier for a reason, not Justice League The New Frontier. either way, I'm gonna miss him. I never met him personally. He apparently was a great guy. I'm gonna miss him. It's another artist gone, and I say this every time an artist passes away, either publicly or privately. You know, the world gets a little bit darker when an artist goes, but at least their work is here. We have their work. They live on through their work, and you can continue to relive those memories. And to he would want us to move on. I'm just gonna say, before I pass it off to the other guys, I'm just gonna say, I miss you, Darwin. You are a fantastic artist, and from what I'm seeing, a fantastic human being. There was no better storyteller in comics than you. Rest in peace, and vaya con Dios. I'm gonna let Taser have the floor now.
There's not a whole lot more I can say other than Darwin Cook, his work, you know, in various pieces, and I'm going to say specifically DC The New Frontier, had a solid retro look, which captured the shift over in who the main heroes were, you know, those who were already established and those who were coming up. And he managed to capture that mid-60s look, which is what happened at the time, because that's when, you know, Hal Jordan and Barry Allen, when they got their books, which was like really like really early 60s, but well, it's about mid-50s. That time,
mid-50s,
that's fair, but it's that time period that the story is set in, and his art it snags it, you know. And even reading how he told the stories, not just Hal Jordan, but like the losers, you know, because that's what DC The New Frontier wasn't just about the Justice League. It was about the entire DC universe. And, you know, DC had all of these other books, you know, that weren't Kate books, like the losers and the haunted tank and
Challengers
all of them.
And the Unknown.
Right. And when you look at how him and who was it, Dave Stewart, how they told the story, you know, that's one of the few books that I got into trouble at work because I couldn't put it down. You know, I mean, you just fell into it, and the art was awesome. You know, one of the best moments was when Wonder Woman was over there, and what was it, Cambodia, freeing the woman that the soldiers were holding and using as like whores and slaves, and she disarms all of the men, and Superman's looking at this, and she tosses the guns at the women, and she's like, "Do as you will," and she's out. And Superman was like, "Oh damn! Oh God, no!"
His Wonder Woman was always bigger than Superman.
Yeah, she was like what, 2 or 3 inches taller than him. She was massive, and I don't mean like your big boobs or anything, but she was Wonder Woman. But the story overall was just such an excellent tale, and you know the way he told the Hal Jordan segment, you know, it just blew my mind. You know, his art captured it in such detail. I can't not picture it, and I haven't read that book in about going on maybe 7 years, and I see the art clearly in my head now, and it's a damn shame that, you know, he got taken by the big C. It's sad.
And out of nowhere. You know?
He kept it to himself, which, yeah. you know, he's a guy, and you know, we do that. You know, we bear the weight of our issues on our own shoulders, and we try to keep, you know, how many people get caught up in it, as few as possible, because we want it to be easier on them, but it's also easier on us. And you know, I give him a nod for that, because I would do the same thing. It's just a damn shame that, you know, he lost the fight, because I mean, A, we lost a human being, and B, I'm not going to get any more of this art, you know? And that's a selfish statement. Yeah, I'll say it, because I liked his art, and I liked his storytelling. And he's, you know, he's gone now, and I'm fucking pissed. Fuck cancer, you know? Damn. So, Godspeed and God bless, Darwin. Good luck to you, bro.
Fuck cancer. Brian, let's round this off real quick.
Well, Darwin Cook was always one of the names you heard when you got into the hobby. You know, one of the names you always heard tossed around when you talk about the great illustrators. My first experience with him was not actually through the New Frontier. In fact, I didn't even know what the New Frontier was really when I first started getting into comics. But my first experience was actually it was through his graphic adaptation of Richard Stark's Parker novels, in particular the Hunter, the very first one that ever came out. And I'm a huge fan of the noir, pulpy crime genre. I love that stuff. Ed Brubaker's Criminal is some of the finest material I've ever read. And the adaptation is an intriguing concept to me because he took a medium, which was typically just the written word, and he added such a spirit and an image to it that you would have thought it would have been there the entire time. Like, if I read that book, which I have since he's, but I didn't read it at the time when I picked up the first graphic adaptation. These are the images I had in my head before I even knew they were the ones I had in my head. He was able to capture such a spirit of the time and able to so perfectly put a frame on something you didn't even question it, you know? And of course, later I did pick up New Frontier, and holy shit, what a revelation that would be, because the man seamlessly chronicles the transition of Golden Age to Silver Age and all this Americana. And the dude's Canadian, too, which is really fucked up. He captures America probably better than more American artists do. But for me in particular, I'll always hold on to the Richard Stark adaptations of Parker as some of my favorite books. I still have all of them in hardcover. And there was always rumors that there was going to be another adaptation. Granted, there hadn't been one since 2013, but there was always a rumor that he was going to do another one. And now, much like Taser, I'm upset because I'll never get to see another Parker adaptation by Darwin Cook. And yeah, it's selfish, and yeah, it sucks, but I just, you know, it's just what a fucking way to go, you know? Cancer sucks this year, man. Just
fuck cancer.
Hashtag fuck cancer.
Fuck cancer.
I think Stephen Amell already did that, but yeah. If you're out there somewhere, Darwin, out there, I don't even know where you would be. I mean, where do you put a guy like that? Amongst the stars, I think, is the only proper place.
He's with the presence.
Ha! Very nice. All right,
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm at a loss for words right now.
Yeah, I get that.
We lost somebody monumental, somebody a colossal. Rest in peace, Darwin Cook. You will be missed. But we're gonna continue on because that's what he would have wanted. We'll give an update on the Captain America Civil War show later on tonight, but X-Men Days of Futures Past, but rather X-Men Apocalypse reviews have started coming out. And to quote Hypo, who tweeted me on Twitter, am I ready to live in a world where both Ultron and Apocalypse blow?
Brian, oh, that's
why don't you give us some of the headlines for the X-Men Apocalypse reviews, and what do we think about all this?
Oh, yeah, this is going to be fun. Okay, so yeah, in case you missed it, the latest advanced reviews for X-Men Apocalypse come in over the last couple weeks and so. And they're not what I imagine anybody was really expecting. Initially, it was overwhelmingly just negative, just taking it up the ass. Like, it was bad. I mean, we have some reviews that call it a stodgy, uninvolving disappointment. That's a good one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Another one I saw called it a quote-unquote bumper car disaster of a movie. Another one said X-Men Apocalypse has a bad case of the Batman v Superman disease, which, what disease are they specifically referencing?
Too long, pointless fighting, a dumb villain. Apocalypse is not a dumb villain. You take it back, reviewer.
And perhaps the most jarring and one of my most head-scratching, Forbes magazine called X-Men Apocalypse a, quote, franchise-killing disaster, end quote. And it doesn't get much better than that. In fact, it only goes from negative to sort of middling at best. A chorus of mez, X-Meh is another one you hear tossed around a lot with this movie. So suffice to say, it's not going over so well critically, you know. If it pleases the court, and by the court I mean Sir Master Eaglestein, I would like to read a select few quotes from one of the reviews, in particular the Forbes review.
Go for it. Go for it. Just do it, please. Appease me.
Okay. Hold on, I'm just kind of bracing myself here for a second. All right.
Hold on, wait a minute. Let me hold on. I'm bent over. I'm holding on. Give it to me.
Okay. Quote, Bryan Singer's would-be trilogy capper is a shocking miss. It is a lifeless and hollow shell of a picture, lacking exciting action, strong character, interplay, or compelling storytelling. It is the nadir of the franchise, determined to make you apologize for every mean thing you ever said about Brett Ratner's rushed X-Men trilogy capper a decade ago.
Damn.
X-Men The Last Stand is X2 X-Men United compared to X-Men Apocalypse.
Ouch.
that was no Vaseline right there, ladies and gentlemen. That was just...
Damn.
Who's your daddy?
Which, by the way, now I definitely want no Vaseline as the intro music for this week. Just like
that. All right, that's fine. Link it to me. Remind me to do that.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, it goes on to pretty much say everything about this movie is just kind of just bad. I mean, this Forbes review is actually pretty goddamn harsh. And also, no spoiler warning at the beginning of the article. Which is a drop ball if ever there was one.
Yeah, that's kind of a fuck you to. Yeah. I mean, granny. I mean, that should be a given considering the movie doesn't come out for another 3 weeks. At the time that
maybe
review was
they
posted.
Were just that dispassionate about the movie.
I understand that, but your fucking editor should have come in and said spoilers ahead. But no, fuck that. Yeah. Fuck you, Forbes. Not because of your distaste in review, but because of the lack of the spoilers. So, I'm going to say a few things about this. One, I refuse, because it's Apocalypse and my own fandom is coming in the way, so I'll fully acknowledge that an X-Men movie starring the Big A himself, directed by Bryan Singer, is bad. I refuse to believe it's a bad movie. Has he made bad movies in the past? Sure. But he's made three good, very good X-Men movies. Two of them, we wouldn't be here without X1 and X2. So, I'm gonna do what anybody else should do, and that is only listen to us when it comes to review of Marvel movies, and go see the movie for myself. And then judge. If it sucks, I'll defend it for about 6 months, and then the year later I'll be like, yeah, that's awful. Or I'll be coming out of the theater like, holy shit, that was the best thing ever. You know, but we'll have to see. I'm still going to see it. I've been waiting since about 1995 to see Apocalypse on the big screen. And I'm not going to let a review by Forbes ruin this experience for me. So yeah, I'm still gonna go see it. I mean, you guys have to go see it because we're doing it for a review special. But either way, Brian, what are your take on this?
In the way the article mentioned this movie having a bad case of the Batman v Superman disease, I think it also has a little bit of the same affliction where everybody is judging it harshly before they go and see it. And I think upon seeing it, they'll realize it's not that bad. Remember, folks, critics aren't always right. They rarely actually get things right overall. I mean,
are we getting into another Batman v Superman case with this? Where, like, overwhelming negativity went into that movie, and yet a lot of it came out of it was, yeah, that was pretty good. And
it was serviceable, you know?
Yeah.
And I think this actually, I think this might hold more promise than the Batman v Superman stuff.
Well, it's a better director.
Well, yeah, first of all, it's a better director. So, I mean, and in most articles I've read, Singer's direction is one of the few things they actually really enjoy about the movie.
Despite
so, at
Forbes.
The very least, we have that going in.
Despite Forbes, apparently.
Yeah, well, Forbes is the outlier. Yeah. So. But also the fact that this is a franchise that's sort of coming full circle, because we've seen the X1, X2, and we've seen how Days of Future Past kind of reset everything, and we know where it's headed, but this is the movie that kind of is going to move us in that direction. And also the fact that there's so many characters, and it's almost impossible, I think, to not get something out of at least everybody, at least for one moment or two, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a lot of characters, and we've seen how that can backfire before, but this is the X-Men, and there's supposed to be a lot of characters running around. That was the whole point of the series, that you had an endless cast
of
colorful characters. Yeah. So, I wouldn't be so quick to rush to judgment on this. I'm definitely going to check it out. I mean, I was going to see it regardless of whether or not you mandated it, but I just don't think that James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, Jennifer Lawrence,
Oscar Isaac,
and all the young talent like Sansa Stark, whatever the fuck her real name is. I don't fucking know. And, you know, people like that. There's so much talent, young and old, that I don't think it's possible to not get anything out of the movie. So, unless that is the case, in which case it'll be a supreme disappointment. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm not holding my breath, but I'm eager to see it. So.
Okay, hold on. First of all, you forgot to add Olivia Munn. Okay.
No,
so,
I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
You got to add Olivia Munn. Olivia Munn is in this, and she will make the movie great.
Acknowledge your senpai, Brian.
She's not my senpai. She's no one's senpai.
Well, she's your elder, so technically she is your senpai.
Yeah, but isn't senpai more of a mentor thing, or am I just imagining that?
Whatever. I don't know Japanese culture. Shut up. Move on.
Taser, you're our local weeaboo. Tell me, man.
First of all, she would be my hair pie. Anyway,
God damn it.
Oh, God.
I'm with Brian. I was going to see this movie no matter what, and I have been feeling the mez about this. A, because Apocalypse is not really my favorite villain. You know, as much as I am, like, really blasé about Apocalypse, Iggy loves it. So we're like, I don't hate him. I just do not care. You know, Apocalypse doesn't really impress me all that much. But I would see this movie, A, because, well, it's an X-Men movie, and B, because it's a comic movie, and I do review comic movies. And C, because it's a comic movie, and I'm a comic fan. So, yeah, three reasons is all I needed to see this movie, regardless of what. But I guess it's now hitting me that because we had Days of Future Past and the whole line got rebooted, that, you know, it strikes me as odd that okay, so wait a minute. So things are a little bit different, but then how is it that we have Apocalypse now and nobody remembers this, at least the first time, because I don't see how making that one change would do that. You know what I'm saying? So
you just want to have watched the movie to find
out. Yeah, I did. So I still don't accept it. But to be fair, we haven't seen this movie. I don't know how it plays in, and
instead of like, this is what happened before X-Men 1, this is like Star Trek 09 shit, where the it branches off because of the time travel thing. I'm just saying, it's right there. It's probably not the same timeline anymore.
Well, it isn't the same timeline,
you know why? Because Nightcrawler didn't remember who they were. And I mean, like, granted, that's a film that's being shot in 2001 or 2002 versus a film that's being shot now. They had no idea this was going to be made. So,
right.
I would say it's not the same timeline. It's a split from the original timeline. There you go. That's my answer. It's Star Trek.
Yeah, it's Doctor Who. There you go. It's Doctor Who.
Well, Doctor Who's a trash TV show, so I'd rather use Star Trek on as reference.
That his name is DJ Eaglestein. He lives in Hiawatha, Texas.
Bring it. Okay. I don't care. Your show is crap, and admit it. You can like it, but it's a shit show. Okay. Let's. Anything else you want to add to that, Taze, before we move on?
Yeah. Actually, I want to. Well, I'll wait till we finish all our news and then save my little one piece. So I'm done with this. I'm gonna go see it regardless. So there you go.
All right. Well, let's move on to some. This is gonna be fun to discuss over the next several years as we head to the biggest Black History Month in all of time, February 2018. We got some Black Panther casting news. That actually feels kind of cool to say. Black Panther, arguably one of the breakout stars of Civil War. More on that
later. Boy, howdy.
But now we have another Human Torch joining the MCU. Brian, give us the
Not just him, neither. We got we also got Lupita Nyong'o.
What was that fruit's name?
Lupita Nyong'o.
Taste the rainbow? What was that? Taste the rainbow?
Lupita Nyong'o.
Repaint the Congo?
Patsy from 12 Years a Slave.
There we go.
Yay! There we go. Also, Maz from Star Wars Episode 7.
I didn't know that was her.
Yeah, that was her. She did the voice. She is in talks to join Ryan Coogler's Creed. And also, yes, as mentioned, Michael B. Jordan is in talks to join Black Panther as well.
Hold on. I'm going to make a small little boss edit right here. Ryan Coogler is directing Black Panther. Michael B. Jordan's going to be... Black Panther. I believe, and of course, Sylvester Stallone is in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and I think another actress in Creed is going to be in Thor Ragnarok. Basically, all of Creed is in the MC universe now, so that's kind of
you
funny.
Say that like it's a bad thing.
I know. No, it's not. It's amazing, and it's just so hilarious. But continue on, Brian. I just want to...
Hey, Adrian, you know I got two powers now.
Really? I bet you he's Drax's father. But this is... We're not talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Oh, I did it! Bro, I am a...
Lupita Nyong'o in talks to join Black Panther as the romantic interest of T'Challa. However... What character that is has been, you know, disclosed, obviously. And similar to that, Michael B. Jordan's character has been revealed. However, one source claimed that it may be the villain role of the movie.
Which means he's going to die.
Well, yeah.
Yay.
I mean, yay. They don't have anybody alive anymore. Now it's just kill them all.
Except for two.
Yeah. Unless the fangirls love you, then you don't get to live.
I don't think the fangirls love the one of them, but whatever.
Well, they definitely love one of them.
Spoilers, but whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah. Who these characters could be, only, you know, nobody really knows. There was rumors, however, that, what was his name? The guy who played Claw in Age of Ultron. Andy Serkis, that was...
Yeah, I thought he was going to be the villain.
It may be a joint effort, a joint villain thing. In particular, you know... maybe T'Challa has a rival in Wakandan monarchy that teams up with Claw in order to supply him with weapons or whatnot. And how that will spin out will be played out in the movie. It's anybody's guess. As far as Nyong'o goes, like we said, she's set to play the interest, who that may be. I mean, historically, Black Panther is hooked up with Aurora Monroe from the X-Men, but I don't think that was only a more recent thing,
like 10 years ago kind of thing.
Yeah, but that's the only one.
The only one he ever had.
He's been a lone king. He's not known for his romances.
Right.
No, he hasn't. But it, also, I mean, you have to realize that I mean, until Fox kind of just like, you know, okay, here you go. You know, we're not, I don't think we're going to see Aurora Monroe. So, an outside love interest is intriguing.
But we don't know if this is confirmed or not.
Yeah, we don't honestly know. But
it's confirmed. Name a superhero movie that didn't have a female lead romantic interest. Even Blade had one. Come on.
Oh, Jesus.
But we don't know if it's going to be her. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
I am willing to bet
that's what all rumors.
She might be his sister. That's fair.
That black woman who stood down Black Widow, that's his fucking sister.
No, that's the Dora something, whatever.
The bodyguards.
Motherfucker! I thought that was Shiri.
And I like that actually. That was kind of hot. Dude, look right at her.
You kind of go like, oh shit.
Move, whatever.
And the look on the Black Widow face was, oh really. That's the fight I would have paid to see. Yes, very much so.
Okay, but I don't want to get into Civil War right now. But let's wrap it up. Let's move on.
Okay, can I say this? Yes. I find it surprising that they're going to give Black Panther romantic interest, because, you know, black guys aren't faithful. You know, he's a king now. He should have like a whole harem of, like, you know, women. You know, like Eddie Murphy, just like the royal penis is clean, exactly. Just throwing rose petals in front of him the entire time.
No, Black Panther is too busy saving Wakanda to have lovers. That's the problem.
Saving, like, Wakanda's in trouble. Remember, nobody would dare come to Wakanda.
Until the movie starts, and then all of that shit happens to Wakanda.
Yeah, that's when Submariner shows up and swamps the place.
Oh, fuck you.
Well, there's a reason Namor's dead. Too soon, man.
Hashtag go, go, go.
All right.
Hashtag kitty back.
Anything else? I think I saw some people say that. I mean, it makes sense with Black Panther. It's going to be a large black cast. I wonder how that's going to go.
Well, yeah, there was a news report. They said the cast is going to be 90-95% black. So,
whoa, there's going to be a majority of black people in this movie.
Who would have thunk it?
Although I have to say, well, I really hope Martin's character movie more. Showed up.
Who knows? The women will be bringing their men to this because it's a 90% black cast, and you know, black men. Just saying, you know, ladies, I understand it's not your fault. Just tell the men, your man, that you'll take care of him afterward and everything.
Chadwick Boseman is
a
very
movie
sexy
theater
individual.
Full of cuckolds. Wow, Taser.
He's going to make a fine-looking King of Wakanda.
Look, if it gets them riled up while they're watching it, you get the fringe benefit of dealing with that when you get home.
I'm pretty sure it'll be a good movie, too. It's going to be a good movie. It's an MCU movie.
It's going to have hip-hop in it because it's a black movie. Just watch.
It's in Africa,
and I'm going to hate
though.
It.
Why would it have hip-hop when
it's
in Africa?
Either going to have hip-hop or it's going to have jungle music.
I would take jungle music over hip-hop.
Jungle boogie. Jungle boogie.
God damn it.
Don't.
All right. Anything else to say about the casting before we leave, guys?
I hope Martin Freeman shows up in the movie. I would like to see more expansion of his character.
Okay.
I hope Morgan Freeman shows up in this movie.
As a young King T'Chaka? No, he's too old for that.
King T'Challa, a flash forward.
No, he could play his uncle.
Yeah, that'd be
because
cool.
T'Challa actually had an uncle that
T'Challa,
was on his
what
side.
What you need to do is you need to stop the white gorilla from destroying Wakanda.
No, but seriously, T'Challa did have an uncle that was on his side. After his father died, so yeah, as an advisor or some crap like that. So okay. You know,
why not give?
Oh
him
yeah,
him.
Didn't
get
he
Morgan Freeman in the MCU?
Off the Avengers. T'Challa had like a region who was ruling for him. Maybe Morgan Freeman could be brought in to play that guy. You know, Batumbe,
yeah.
I think his name was.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? Mm-hmm. That sounds cool. All right. I think we're all excited for Black Panther, especially after Civil War. I think we're all
super excited for Black Widow in Black Panther.
Woo! No, she's...
That's a whole lot of blackness. She wants
that Hulk. She got jungle fever. Yeah, she
but got Hulk's not available. Fever.
No, and, she'll and wait for him. She's a white woman. She'll wait for him.
Ooh, no, she'd be waiting for him. Come on now, think about it. Yeah, daddy. All
right, let's move on. Let's move on. Let's move on.
Oh, yes, I want to see Paul Rudd and T'Challa talking to each other. I want to hear a Sex Panther joke from Anchorman. That is what I want.
How long have you been Real Panther?
60% of the time, it works every time.
It doesn't make any sense.
Oh God.
All right. But I'm gonna let you fuckers talk for a few minutes because apparently a mediocre TV show got canceled and a spin-off from a mediocre TV
suck
show
it. Didn't get greenlit. You can suck it. Suck it.
You talk about your precious Agent Carter and your not most wanted.
I like the Mexicans better when they can't speak English. This is ooh. Obscene. That's yeah, actually yeah, not true. I hate when they can't speak English.
I'm a self-hating Mexican, so it's all cool. Go ahead, Ryan. Go ahead, Ryan. Taser. Go ahead. Dish out, please.
Okay. So things have been happening, and, you know, word behind the scenes was Agent Carter might not be up for renewal for season 3, and there was some late news coming out that Marvel's Most Wanted, a project in development to star Bobby Morse and Lance Hunter from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., would not be moving forward, and both of those rumors have come true, unfortunately. Agent Carter was canceled by ABC very quietly. There will be no season 3 of that show. And news broke through Variety that Marvel's Most Wanted will not be going forward to pilot at ABC. So right now, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. still rules the roost in terms of Marvel television, but that's really all we've got at this point. I mean, outside of the...
Congratulations, a heap of shit is the ruler.
You're welcome.
Bite it!
Fuck you. I saw JT Slade slinging a flaming chain today, all right? Fuck you.
Could have been.
Whatever. Fuck you. So, Agent Carter, I mean, it's been nothing but critically praised, but in terms of viewership, it was never able to hold an audience, so I'm pretty sure that's what contributed to the fact that it wasn't going to be continued. But also, Taser, I think now in hindsight, we can sort of acknowledge that while the stories were good, they weren't ever really great. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think it ever really truly delivered on the promise season. In particular, season 2, I think, sort of faltered in that regard, where it promised something and it didn't quite deliver on it. Maybe that was just me.
I don't know. I think, I'm going to say it. I think the whole interracial thing might have backed a few people off. I also think that it moved a little better story wise, but I think I think it tried a little bit too much for charm, you know.
Yeah, it tried to be a little too much in its own little niche and try to like appeal to the kitsch a little bit too much, you know.
Yeah, you know. And that's kind of sad because, you know, you don't have too many period shows nowadays, and especially shows mining that time frame and doing that type of thing, and especially a show with a lead female character who can kick ass, you know. And I don't care whether you're male or female, you kick ass, I got your back, you know. And somebody who didn't do the typical, oh, I don't know whether Bobby, like, who cares, you know, that guy needs a bullet in the head, you know. I love this show, and I'm really going to miss it. In regards to Most Wanted, I'm not surprised. I'm really not, because sad as it is to say, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does not do as well as most people would want it to. I think
it's a mediocre television series.
It is not mediocre. It's not great, but it's a fine, fun show for the family to watch. And that has violence contained within. But if it did better, I think that would have given Most Wanted a better chance. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't want that show anyway. You know, Bobby and Hunter were fun, but only fun within the confines of that group ensemble. Them by themselves, I do not care. I don't. They don't. They're not a draw for me.
You know? I don't know, man. I think personally the characters kind of got lost in the shuffle. I think maybe they could have grown a little bit if they'd been given the own opportunity to have their own show. I mean, I'm not exactly weeping over it, you know. I won't. But, you know, I think I like their chemistry on the show. I think they worked.
I liked Hunter. I'll give you that. And Bobby as female ass kicker number two. Okay, fine. You know, I can work with that. But I'm already looking at May. You know, May handles all the ass kicking I need. As a matter of fact, I'm actually, you know, annoyed that they, you know, they gave Chloe freaking martial arts skills, because it kind of dilutes her purpose. You know, yay, she's got powers. Yay, she's got martial arts skills. And yay, she's a, you know, freaking science hacker. Gee whiz. Holy fuck, look at her brain fly. You know, like, really? They just, like, stacking the deck here, you know? Before, S.H.I.E.L.D. was a team with specialists, which is why, you know, as tragic as it is, you have Fitz and Simmons, you know? They were nerds, but they were really, really, really smart nerds. And then you toss in Chloe, and she's the outsider who is also smart, but she's got a hidden past or whatever the fuck. But then in order to play up her character more, oh, look, I'm an Inhuman. Oh, look, I've also done what you call a scene. So by and large, anything that comes down, you can just leave it. You can just look at her, you know, because whoever she can't physically beat up, she can blow away, you know. Yeah, you know, so you don't need Hunter and you don't need Bobby because both of them are superfluous at this point.
Well, I mean, it's a broader cast of characters, though. That's what the whole point of the show is, you know? I mean, it's called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's not called Five People on a Bus, which is actually a plane, you know? The show had to grow beyond the confines of what it was, and it did that. Yes, I still enjoy it week to week, but
no,
I never felt
beyond the confines of what it was, but it's how much do you want to do to one character? You know, if anything, characters should be able to work and flow off of each other without making any of them superfluous. And Hunter and Bobby were. I mean, honestly, they were. As much as I liked Hunter, I like Hunter a hell of a lot more than I like Mac. Mac is fucking annoying. You know, big, bald-headed, marshmallow-hearted, softy. You know what? Fuck cancer and fuck Mac. I hate him. I wow. don't like him.
Hey,
I don't like him.
Hey, you know? hey.
Bring back Trip.
Rain it in. Rain it in. Fuck it off, Taser. God damn.
That's where the show started to suck, when it lost Trip.
See, even he said it.
That was where they brought in the Inhumans, though. That could be.
Yeah, and that's when it also started to suck.
You guys have no appreciation for any of this shit. You're cynical old men.
I have a lot of appreciation, but
Inhuman scum.
But I think, and you know, the sad part is, when it comes to the Inhumans, how much of what they're doing here do you think will translate over into the movies? Because we've seen that the movies don't care about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Even though Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's,
tries
not,
to
that
fit
they don't, it's
the
not that they don't care. It's that
don't
it would
care. Joss Whedon basically said that. He said, yeah, whatever, fuck the show.
That's not what he said. He said that it would be an uphill battle to try to explain to the casual moviegoer who may not watch the show how Phil Coulson is suddenly alive after dying in Avengers. That's a whole other continuity thing they'd have to go through and explain, and screen time taken away
if
from the
you're seeing every Marvel Avengers. Movie that comes out, you are not a casual moviegoer. Sorry, you're not.
They do exist. They're not just people who watch everything just because of some obligation to a hobby, okay? People
but a large number of them are. And people are not as stupid as people like to think. People, if you're going... What I'm saying is this. I don't think it would have been too hard for them to have gone, hey, look, we did something and it brought Agent Coulson back to life. Bam. I don't think people would have had really a big problem accepting that.
I think we're getting off topic from the original point of conversation here, so I'm
gonna try. I think you're from Boston, Massachusetts.
Miss Agent Carter,
I think from New York, New York. You're a dirty New Yorker. That's what I think you are, kid. I fuck you.
Nobody's going to miss Agent Carter.
I'm going
to miss Agent Carter.
Although I thought it was fucked up that the rumor first came when she signed a contract to do a different show on ABC, which was like,
and both
oh,
of those
shit.
Fell through. That other show that she had that she was supposed to, yes, I could do
oh,
double time.
Really?
Yeah, I think that fell through too. Well, so she's got shit now.
That's just awful.
That sucks for her.
No, because I like looking at Haley Atwell. She's, you know, good, and she got killed off recently.
In one.
Oh yeah, that movie. That we...
You didn't have to bring that part up. Now I feel like an asshole. Great, thank you.
You're an asshole. You're an asshole. I'm an asshole.
You're an asshole.
Yeah, asshole. Okay. Anything? Are you guys still talking about mediocre television shows?
I think we're all. I'll forever miss the opportunity though to have Delroy Lindo play Dominic Fortune. I would have liked to see that happen. For better or worse.
Oh, wow, that could have been interesting. Holy shit.
Yeah, that was one of the pictures of Most Wanted. Yeah, Delroy Lindo was going to play Dominic Fortune, and then they had Oded Fehr as the main antagonist of the series.
I'm sure they'll bring those actors in for something else, but we'll see.
I hope so, because now that Bobby and Hunter are free up from doing their own spinoff, maybe they'll bring them back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at some point.
No.
Not in a regular capacity, but like maybe in a recurring thing.
Guaranteed,
you know?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. gets canceled next year.
They already got renewed for
I'm
next
going to.
This is all teasing.
I know.
Hatred!
I just, you know.
You have to amuse yourself when you're not in the conversation. I get
it. Well, I mean, I've seen the first two seasons and I see mediocrity when I acknowledge mediocrity. Let's move on to individual reviews, shall we?
Wait, hold on. I want to get one movie comment out. I think it was not last week, the week before, the show before, when you guys talked about Doctor Strange.
Yes.
The Doctor Strange trailer.
Yes.
I didn't know you were going to talk about it because I mostly forgot and I didn't come on. So I will say this. I am still mostly meh when it comes to Doctor Strange.
Did he flip out when he went into his astral form?
No, I didn't. I thought it looked cool, but I was like, oh, wow, that looks cool. However, having seen the full trailer, because they had the full trailer before a certain movie, and I saw it regular the first time because I went for the Thursday night premiere. I saw it the next day with my brother. And he, you know, splurged, and we saw it in 3D. The sequence when he was falling through the city, and that one character who was walking across, I don't know, I guess dimensions, and you had all those clockworks spinning in the
yes.
background.
Yes.
In
the
3D,
very Ditko-looking sequence?
Yes. In 3D, it looked gorgeous.
That's something I didn't think you were gonna say.
I am, you know me, I am not somebody moved by 3D because for the most part, been there, done that. I've seen a lot of 3D movies. And most effects, they give you good, they give you background and distance. Okay, fine, fuck, whatever. But that shot of him falling, or whoever was falling, and you see the Inception landscape, because that's what it looked like.
Yeah, that was Doctor Strange falling. That was Stephen
the
Strange.
Depth that shot gives you, and really highlighting how whoever that is, how small they are. Oh fuck! In 3D, that's exactly what it left me with. I my brother was startled that I was reacting the way I was to it. I was caught, you know, and. That bit with the guy and he's doing doo 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 waving my arms and whatever the fuck the clockwork things and we're just going ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Oh shit,
magic,
you
bitch.
Know, yeah, it caught me, you know. I can honestly say, just like that fucking Turtles a sequel that I have to go see now because I saw it in 3D, damn it. No, actually, no, before the 3D, I saw the tank shot. That shot right there sold me on the movie. So
was it Bebop riding the tank? Yeah.
It came busting up out of water, like, oh shit. So yeah, I had to go see it. Those two shots, more so than anything else, really sold me on that. So even though I was going to go see it because we review it, I'm not only going to go see it, but the first way I'm seeing it is definitely in 3D. Because I have got to see what else did they do, you know, to actually win me. Because it's won me to see it, but it hasn't won me into liking it because, you know, I haven't seen it yet. And I'm still not that big a fan of Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Well, but I do want to see it in 3D.
Interesting that the Inception, because I didn't see it in 3D when I saw the trailer. It was in 2D. But maybe it's being shot for 3D versus being converted to 3D, which is always the better option.
You might have a point, but it's definitely a 3D effect. Okay. You know, and seeing it in 2D, like I said, it didn't do anything for me. It was like, oh wow, check that out. Seeing it in 3D, totally different.
Okay, well, that's good. All right, let us know if you saw the Doctor Strange trailer in 3D over the past 2 weeks. Well, let's move on to individual reviews. I am tackling the Ultimates number 7, because I reviewed Ultimates 6 with Destiny in Chains, because they're doing some epic
stuff. That sounds dirty.
Yeah, it is. Destiny's Child in Chains.
Destiny's Child!
No, because everybody's all up on Beyonce and Lemonade and Becky with the good hair and all that shit. I'm topical.
Yeah, you're a riot.
I'm Becky with the good hair. Who's Becky? Is that like somebody Jay-Z cheated on with or something?
Yeah, supposedly her name's Rachel Roy. She's a celebrity hairdresser. Supposedly she's Becky with the good hair. So.
Yeah, except they were also giving Rachel Ray flack for that.
People didn't know it was a different person, so they threw all their hate mail and death threats at Rachel Ray instead of Rachel Roy.
Why death threats? You don't know their. People are.
Because she's the queen bee, Iggy. She's the queen bee.
I swear to God, this is coming from a guy who does a podcast from his own house, like with two other guys. Fucking get a life, people. Jesus Christ. Anyway, Ultimates number 7. This has this wasn't your typical Ultimates issue, but because it has the banner of Road to Civil War 2, which actually issue 0 comes out this week. So this issue was basically setting how the team divides. You have sort of Captain Marvel dealing with bullshit that we don't know about. You have actual differences between Black Panther and the Blue Marvel, the other black guy. I want to say his name is the Blue Marvel.
Yeah, that's it.
Blue Marvel. And then there's also a really cool sequence where the guy they captured, his friend who was lost in the Omniverse or whatever, that ethereal space.
You mean that guy with the horn helmet?
The one who looked like
his own special.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there was a cool sequence where like they're talking through his jail cell, and like he's kind of like forming, like reshaping his own reality, and they don't realize it. Like he's just sort of tooling with things as it goes along, and it's like, what the fuck? And like they don't know. Like there's something they clearly have something planned for this guy. And I'm interested to see what it is. But it's really, it felt pointless. And then Thanos shows up. For some fucking reason. He kills a lot of people. What a shock. I hated this issue because it was clear that it's driving to the Civil War 2 stuff. And it didn't feel what the book had felt like for the first 6 issues, which is that big, super huge idea. Like it's sort of like a dealing with the aftermath of those first 6 issues, but it's also trying to fit in the Civil War bullshit. Why are Captain Marvel and Iron Man fighting? Do we fucking know? Do we know anything?
Sexual tension.
I guess.
They wanted to give diversity to the spearhead of each one instead of just a white male, so they put the female in charge of the one side.
Are you? Oh, okay. I was like, is that a real thing? Why not just pick somebody else besides Iron Man? Whatever. It was art-wise, it was still as good as always with Kenneth Roquefort.
They just can't resist making Tony a dick. They really can't. It's like Marvel, you know, what do you call it? Editorial mandate, you know. Tony is a dick.
Now, you know, this is the downside for Robert Downey Jr. doing such a bang-up job as Tony Stark that they're now making the book a little bit reflective of him.
They've done because that since Iron Man 1, though.
Stark.
My issue is that
Stark's a bit of an ass, so...
Yeah, but, like, even in Civil War 1, before RDJ was even in the role, he was an asshole. So it was even before that.
But that was more than just them messing with his character, though. They fucked with a lot of people's characters in that.
Well, but we're talking about Iron Man, though. But...
Right.
The point is, Civil War 2 is stupid. This whole there was at least some kind of build up to Civil War 1. Civil War 2 is just like, this is the clear cash grab. We're not even gonna try to tell an ending story this time. It's gonna be some cookie cutter bullshit. Some villain shows up and that's it.
There's a civil war in theaters. We need a civil war in the comic books because people will read comic books then, and that's how comics work.
That's exactly right. And it's at least with Fear itself, it sucked, but at least that was trying an original idea that hadn't been done before. Or even, what's another fucking event that happened? Whatever.
The black suited Spider-Man came back for Spider-Man 3.
Like, even Avengers vs. X-Men, you know, capitalizing off the Avengers movie, that was still an original sort of thing. Versus, this is just,
redundant?
Want that box on this one. It's redundant as fuck, and it's stupid, but we're going to have to review the issues because we're the Warriors 3, and I hate myself. This is legit. In 10 years, this is the first event I am not looking forward to. I have at least looked forward to all the events. I may not have liked them all, but... Fuck, I have no interest in reading this, but, This is just so stupid. Because I have no confidence that Bendis can deliver an entertaining story about Civil War. That's just the bottom line. This issue was a casualty of it, and the fucking war hasn't even started yet. It's a 3 out of 5. It's a good issue, but it's clear that, all that science big bullshit we did in the first 6, this is going to go on hiatus, and now they're going to fight Thanos for, 3 issues or 4 issues or something. At least for the duration of the summer. That's what it feels like. I hope not. I hope it's, just a 2-issue chapter tie-in. Boom, we're out, and we do our own thing. But who knows? Civil War 2 is stupid. Let's go to Brian to wrap it up for today. Take it away, B-Ryan.
Okay, I got me some all-new X-Men. And this is... picking up on the Apocalypse Wars event that's running throughout the X-Men books currently. And we kick things off at the remains of Utopia. That's right, out in San Francisco, where everyone's throwing a birthday party for Evan, and it's a who's who of the young mutants throughout the world. And they've turned it into pretty much a club. Yeah, because Kid Gladiator is the greatest DJ of all time, dropping sick beats and on a discotheque floor, and it's kind of crazy. And Evan is not feeling it. He is actually pretty depressed as it is because he has... Actually, I find it kind of funny because it actually almost deals with actual depression. I've never experienced it, so I can't speak from personal experience. But Evan speaks to having days where he doesn't want to smile, doesn't want to pretend everything is A-okay because he knows the second he pretends everything isn't okay, he shows frustration, anger, sadness. Everyone's going to see not Evan, but the clone of Apocalypse, and they're going to wonder what that means about him and his future and all that stuff. And so he steals one of the little Banffs, and he goes to this little no-name place in the middle of nowhere called Tolman's Field just to remind himself of his home where he grew up. Or supposedly grew up in the world when Phantom X was keeping after the boy. And he had that, you know, soft Midwestern upbringing and stuff. Lived on a farm, idyllic community, all that stuff. And he realizes now that he doesn't have that because anywhere he goes, he's feared and hated, as is the plight of the mutants. And so after his brief little detour from his own birthday party, he returns back and speaks with Hank McCoy, and he spots a odd-looking mask in the corner, and it's the mask from the Beast and Doctor Strange encounter from the last issue, or the issue before, where Beast has been attempting to locate a way to send himself and the original Five Mutants back to their original timeline, because he realizes the more time they're there, the more damage they're causing, and he's trying to set things right, fix the mistakes of his own future self. But Evan sees the mask, and he's like, oh, what does this do? And he tries it on, and suddenly him and Beast activate the time travel device that Beast was working on, and they get flung back into fucking Egypt, into the middle of a raid by Clan Akava. So that's happening, and Evan shows up, and his past original self, the actual young version of Apocalypse, who it seems has just been taken into the clan, him and Evan make a quick escape after he realizes, oh shit, this is a version of me, and he might know where I'm from, what I am for, so if we go together, maybe he has some secrets for me. So Evan and Apocalypse then and Sabanur make their quick getaway, but Beast gets fucked over by the clan. He gets sliced in the stomach and tackled to the ground and almost trampled by a horse. And they take him prisoner, or rather, they're going to just watch him die as he bleeds out on the desert floor. And Evan realizes that it is his original self that saved him. They had been shrouded the entire time with clothing garments reminiscent of, you know, Middle Eastern attire. But now Evan's like, oh, it's me. Well, this is interesting. So that sets up next issue, where we're going to see original Apocalypse speaking to Evan. And should be a fairly interesting issue, I think, because we haven't really seen that sort of interplay between the characters. And why would you? Because Apocalypse is, you know, all-knowing, all-seeing, and he's always always in the future. And Evan's in the here and now, and he is Apocalypse, and he'll grow. I know, it's confusing. But suffice to say, I'm looking forward to seeing how that issue pans out. I want to see it unfold, so I will be back for that. But this issue was actually really, really good. Some really good character development for Evan, who's kind of been, you know, sort of shunted off to the side in most recent issues. But I'm glad they're getting back in the swing of including the team more broader characters, because I like Evan. He's one of the best things to come out of the Uncanny X-Force one Remender did, I think. And I like that they go back and they reference all this myth and mythology and, you know, the canons around the character, so I'm really happy to see it play out in a way that feels organic and it's going to help develop the character more. So I gave it a 4 out of 5. Easy.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good. I almost picked it up because it's the beginning of the Apocalypse Wars storyline, right?
Yes,
For at least that book, because it seems to me each book is doing their own thing, right?
Yeah. The one over Uncanny X-Men is doing something with Angel now.
Yeah, which makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, in the present day.
But they're not crossing over at all.
No.
Okay.
It's this book will look like, it looks like this title is going to be dealing with the past. Uncanny has the present, and then Extraordinary has the future. So it's across
all the same. But they're not all the same plot. Like they all operate.
No.
Okay.
No, they're not all the same.
I'm glad you liked it because I wanted to read it, but I wasn't sure. I might go pick it up again just because
you said. Well, half the issue is Evan's sort of journey to the Midwest, and the other half is all the Clan Akava stuff. So, you know, it depends on what you think about that whole storyline, but I really enjoyed it.
Well, I liked Evan. He was one of the cooler parts of Uncanny X-Force, you know?
He really was. And they keep on with that character growth in this issue, so I think it's honestly worth your time if you were a fan of the original series.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
I know you were. I'm speaking in generalities for anybody listening.
Do I have to repeat myself on that?
No, you don't have to repeat yourself.
Well, I mean, even though I just did. But either way, I'll go check it out this week. I have a really like week at the comic shop, so I'll go check it out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for this episode of the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast. And yes, it's recorded because I'm monitoring it right now, and you're listening to it right now. So Brian can stop giving me that death look he's giving me.
What are you talking about? You're crazy.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to... the Civil War podcast will be coming hopefully next week. John just unfortunately could not make it this week.
We have to break John out of the raft before we can record the episode. So
spoilers.
What?
So we will, as of now, the plan is to revive it next week. So hopefully that will happen. And also after that, we will swiftly have a commentary for X-Men Days, not Days of Futures Past. X-Men Apocalypse, that'll be coming soon. And I think we're off for movie commentaries till November, so... not commentaries, but reviews. Commentaries is the other thing I do at MarvelousIggy.wordpress.com. Also, follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/Iggy2814, where I'm currently playing Metroid Prime 2 Echoes, so if you like some first-person Metroid stuff, been a good time. Watch me be a complete idiot in a first-person shooter game. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/MarvelousIggy. Follow Brian at No Man Mr. Powers.
No Mr. Powers. No Mr. Powers.
No Mr. Powers. Follow, yeah, at No Mr. Powers, where he retweets like a bitch on Friday. That's how I know it's Friday.
Yep, I am the weekend welcome wagon. That's what I am.
And head over to the GreenLanternCorps.com for all my reviews on all things Green Lantern related, especially because the DC Rebirth is starting again next month, so it'll be a good, exciting time. I'll have all two Green Lantern series to review. Maybe Justice League as well. We'll see. Anything else, guys, you want to say before we officially leave this episode?
I may interject briefly just to say, if you're picking up your comics this for the next week or so, if you can, I recommend at least checking out the Horsemen of Apocalypse variants they got going on. They got some really cool shit going on over there. I picked up the Apocalypse variants for All New X-Men, and I love it. So I'm going to be checking them out week by week. Yeah, I did. Don't spend more than you have to, but if you have the extra money and you like the covers, I mean, you know, go for it. No one's going to stop you.
They're by Ken Lashley, aren't they?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty cool covers. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Is Taser still here?
Taser!
Yo!
Hey, there he is.
I just didn't have anything to say.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for this episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We will see you all next week for another episode and a special edition podcast for Captain America Civil War.